Joseph Booty there with the long hair, can't, don't care. Joined top right by Cole. I don't. Are we using last name? Cole.
I'd prefer
Dox me.
No last name.
Dox me.
No. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Do just, it.
No functioning webcam, but you know, we'll just get to hear the sounds from Rory.
He's so
Rory,
so poor.
You're gonna have to provide us with a lot of sounds.
I can provide you with lots of sounds. Don't you worry, Truman.
I appreciate
amazing.
It.
Amazing.
Oh, sorry. Just make sure that we are ready to rock here. What is Grub Buds? Well, what we're gonna do is we're gonna kind of take a fast food item every so often. I don't know. It's not gonna be weekly per se, but it'll be. When we see fast food items that interest us, and then kind of in between while we're eating, well, we'll give you our first impressions, and then while we eat, we'll talk about some weird news stories that we found throughout the week, or you know, fairly recent within reason, and then we'll give our just overall feelings about it. For this first episode, you know, it's got to be the best inaugural sandwich to open with here. I mean, out of all fast food items, there's the one just. Storied, historic. It's the McRib. The beautiful McRib. Which I've been told, and I don't know if anybody can confirm this, but I've been told that the McRib only comes back, the reason it only comes back so often is because it's when pork prices are at its lowest. That's what I swore some farmer in school told me. But I can't confirm or deny that. That could just be a rumor. But that's just what I've heard before. Mm-hmm. So
makes a little sense.
Yeah. So how's everyone's week been? How have you guys been doing? So I guess it's just Monday. So I don't know how was your Mondays?
Fine. Yeah. Monday was good.
Not bad.
Got a fat nap in today, so you know, can't complain.
Yeah. I had a nap for lunch. Good stuff. Oh,
I think those are the best kind, honestly.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, it's like it's the ones that you need the most for sure. It's better than just it's the best feeling of nap because you're like, oh, I could just, you know, if I had a half hour more sleep, I feel so much better. And you get that half hour of sleep and you're like, wow, I do feel so much better. It's great.
Yep.
But all right, without further ado, I don't know. We'll do our first bites and we'll do our first impressions. I think a lot of us got the first impression in the car though.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, the smell, it's not, you expect barbecue, right? Like
right.
You want a rib sandwich, and I got that, like there's a little bit of barbecue sauce, I get that, but there's something, like the patty, something, so there's a stench, mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's probably appetizing, it hits you though.
Yeah, appetizing. Yeah. I don't know if appetizing is the word I'd use for.
Are
sure.
we allowed to say stank?
Yeah, just I think stank is just a good description overall for the sandwich. It is a stanky sandwich.
It's one of those things. One of those things you smell and you're just like, is this something I want to eat? It kind of smells good, but I'm kind of just in the middle here. It's just one of those smells. You're like, I feel like it should be food, but it might be like. It might be just some like natural wood or something. It's just an odor.
Give it that like in that school lunch cafeteria smell. Where you're like,
yeah. Oh yeah.
Can't decide if it's a chemical factory or food.
That's perfect. That's a perfect description is school lunch smell. It's got a lot of school lunch smell to it. And it's I think I had been to a few school lunches where they do like serve. What's their version of the McRib? The McRib's not that hard to make, especially with McDonald's.
You're looking for, you're looking for the ribette sandwich.
Yeah. What is it? You guys are all from Kansas, so you guys all had the chili with the cinnamon roll or whatever it was. Popular Kansas.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you went to private school, so I don't know up there in top left. But did you guys still do chili and cinnamon rolls, or did you guys just have steak every day?
Every now and then, it was usually just. A lot of the same thing, and then you got either, do I want a salad today, or do I want a burger and fries?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's...
It definitely wasn't, like, five-star, but it was...
Better, per se, probably.
It wasn't, you get this, really know, or huh? you brought a lunch. Yeah, because I always brought a lunch.
I'm not gonna lie. I think the last time I had a McRib, I didn't really like onions or pickles that much on my sandwiches. But I've like came around. I've become an adult in many ways, in all ways except for mental. I am an adult. But all right, I think it's time to just get into this. I just want to show the box first off. Are they saucing it inside the box?
There's so much damage.
There is.
Looks like another McRib got murdered.
It goes box. It goes box, bun, meat,
barbecue sauce,
vegetables, sauce, other bun, lid. Bro. All right.
Don't forget onions.
All right. Here we go, guys. Let's get into it.
My first ever McRib. You know, my first impression here is that's exactly how I'd expect.
Yeah.
A rib sandwich from McDonald's to taste like.
That's exactly
what it smelled like.
Yeah. Make sure I get an onion in there for everybody. I didn't get quite to the toppings. If you look at this. So the McRib is, you know, I don't know, a 5-inch sandwich or so.
Mm-hmm.
All the toppings are condensed into this two-inch section. The middle of the sandwich is going to be awesome.
So, you know, I feel like the way they train McDonald's employees to do their job really well is they give them this cylinder that they put on hamburgers, and then they just throw toppings in the cylinder. But when the McRib came back, they're like, we don't want a new cylinder. Just cylinder on the McRib. Throw it in there.
You know what? I can believe that. Yeah,
everybody gets caught by the meme academy. It's
no, they
pickles and onions.
Not.
No,
yeah, oh, yeah. I don't. It's fine. You know, we all have a unique perspective being from the Midwest area, especially a lot of us from. Well, I guess me and Joe from Kansas City, but this is it's interesting. You know, it's certainly not barbecue. Like, people are like, this is barbecue. Fuck off.
No. Yeah, not a chance.
It is kind of
although you have to know that somebody in California is ordering a McRib and going, so this is what authentic Kansas City barbecue tastes like.
No way anybody's doing
it. AC sauce. It's like a sweeter sauce.
Mm-hmm.
It is barbecue sauce. Yeah. But barbecue sauce doesn't make it barbecue. I think that's where the line is drawn. It's like, I can have a tuna sandwich. Putting barbecue sauce on my tuna sandwich isn't barbecue. And, you know,
yeah,
close enough.
It's certainly barbecue sauce, for sure. But, all right. Well, I guess that's a good first impression. The buns, different than all their other buns. I don't know. It's the only sandwich in fast food that's shaped like this outside of the Burger King chicken sandwich, which is, and I don't know, it'd be interesting to see those two in a head-to-head comparison, because I've like, that's all nostalgia factor for the BK sandwiches, but while we continue eating, we should get into some of our weird news stories, and I don't know, so we did introductions top left and then around, so do we want to go reverse order?
Might as well.
I'll give you guys, you know,
I think so.
I guess I'll let you guys go last, you know, think about what's going on. And boy, do I have a doozy of a weird news story to start us out with. This is an interesting one, and it comes from a place that we don't really hear a lot of news from. And that's Montana. Specifically, hold on. I believe it's Columbia Falls, Montana.
Okay.
And you know, if you're only going to hear one news story out of Montana a year, it would make sense that it's got to be big, right? And as far as weird news goes, this guy went big. So what happened is there's a 50-year-old man accused of driving his car. He hasn't been charged yet, but I feel like the charges are going to stick. I feel like it's going to be hard to prove that it wasn't you. Because this 50-year-old man is accused of driving his car through a Super One Foods, which is a grocery store, and then streaking naked through a retirement home, which was two Thursdays ago in Columbia Falls, Montana. They've identified the man as Alan Roger Connor Jr. And he he's being held on suspicion of attempted negligent vehicular assault, criminal endangerment, felony, criminal mischief, and an aggravated DUI. aggravated, I feel like, is just a nice way to put a DUI.
Nowhere in there they had public indecency.
That's just a DUI.
No, I think there were seven total crimes been charged with, and somehow none of them were public indecency. So let's start. So this man, he crashed it in there, and luckily no one's hurt. Big factor of this is, I guess, as far as DUIs go, no one getting hurt, very good. But he crashed it into the grocery store. He then backed it out. I think he was already nude. I don't think he stripped in the middle of this. But he ran it in there. He backed it up. He drove down the road. He crashed into a trailer and then got out of his car. And at this point, he either stripped or was already naked. But I feel like if you're going to go crashing into the grocery stores, you might as well already be naked. You know, your nights, you know, no one's going to be like, well, at least you were clothed. But so then he went running naked through the halls of a nearby retirement home and was apprehended just outside the facility. You know, I've had some wild Thursday nights, Friday nights, Saturday nights. None of them have ever had ended up with me running naked through a retirement home. So, but on the bright side, not in any way related to political, social, or terrorist type attack. No one was hurt. So it's just kind of weird. And that's perfect. Yeah. Right where we like it. Right where we want it.
I love it. I love it. I love Montana because the only things I know about Montana is there's about 8 people that live there. And for a long time, they didn't have speed limits. And like this just feels like Montana is like the underpopulated Florida. Like if the weather was nicer, it would just be another Florida. That's really it.
If there was a reason for more than 8 people to be in Montana, then we'd have a lot. Then it would be Florida.
Yeah, because you had to go like 80 on the highways in Montana, don't you?
Oh yeah,
like 85. 85 is the speed limit.
Which means 95 probably pretty west.
East.
That's what it was called before they put the speed limit of 85 on it.
Which means 95 is probably pretty acceptable around there. You could probably almost hit 100 before the state troopers go, wait a minute.
I feel like, yeah, I feel like at triple digits, they're like, okay, there's rules, all right? There's still a law. It's high.
Oh, no, Truman. Apparently, you've never been in a work truck on that highway.
Live in a society.
Society. Well, Montana also has it down. I heard a story of somebody got pulled over in their Aston Martin, and the cop was like, here's a ticket for speeding. You can pay that with a credit card right now. The dude had a credit card machine in his car. So you just swipe it and you go on your way. The dude also went on to say that while he was going the speed that he got pulled over for, he's just getting passed by all these like white work trucks that are just cruising down the highway.
Oh yeah, they don't want to pull you over in a work truck. I have driven work trucks before, and they definitely do not want to pull you over in a work truck.
So back to this news story a little. I kind of want to know the distance between this grocery store and a nursing home. Because in every town I've ever lived in or like been in, grocery stores are typically not in the same type of neighborhood that the nursing home would be. So did this man like run 5 or 6 blocks completely nude?
He drove.
He drove and then crashed and then just ended up right there, I guess. You know, I don't know. I don't run naked through retirement homes after driving into grocery stores. I don't know how close they are. You know, he certainly, it could have been a distance. It could have been, I think it was like a 5 or 6 blocks down the road he drove and then ran inside a retirement home. So, yeah, that's going to be my McRib weird news story. And I feel like that's got a big McRib vibe to it. That story is just,
oh yeah.
That guy had 2 McRibs before he went.
No doubt.
When you eat a McRib, no, that's the night that you've got to go have. I'm going to go get in my car and go find some grocery stores right after.
Fortunately, we're all only at 1 McRib.
All right. That's fine. It's
lucky,
like 4 Locos.
Lucky for us.
It's like 4 Locos. You can have 1, but if you have 2, it's gonna be a night. But if you have 3, you're going to die.
Something's going to go wrong.
So don't eat 3 McRibs, okay? Okay. The McRib is the Four Loko of sandwiches. Once they took the caffeine out of Four Lokos. I don't know what the caffeinated version of the McRib would be, but I feel like it'd be too powerful. I don't even want to know.
Maybe like the Bacon Ranch. King. There's a lot going on with the Bacon King. There's a lot of iron.
We all know what that means. Yeah, the Bacon King is a lot of meat. Maybe if they spread the toppings all over the McRib, maybe that's what it'd be like. But instead, they keep it right there.
No. Not spread it. Multiple applications. You have to move the cylinder like 3 times, and then you have a McRib that has stuff all across the top of it.
Maybe you get like, you know how the Big Mac has the 3 buns and the 2 patties?
Yeah.
Maybe you get like a McRib bun that's a little longer and stack 2 McRibs on top of each other.
The Big McRib?
Yeah.
All right.
The McRib pack.
All right, this is getting too chaotic. Rory, would you like to go next?
Yeah. So I have a very important topic to discuss, and it's voter fraud. So voter fraud's a major issue, and so the New Zealand Bird of the Year competition has had a major voter fraud incident where 1,500 votes were sent in from a single email address for the I believe it's the kiwi Puka Puka, which is a small kiwi. 1,500. This guy felt so strongly about the kiwi Puka Puka that he sent in 1,500 votes from a single email address. I don't know if he bought it or what, but that's some perseverance. But they found that out, obviously, because there's a news article about it, and they eliminated all of those votes, because evidently that's not allowed. And now, currently, with that lift, the top billing is the Kakopo, which is a nocturnal bird known for its owlish beak and yellow-green coloring, and it's the only flightless parrot in the world. And the reason they have a national bird of the year is because it just allows, there's a lot of birds in New Zealand, evidently, and it allows the Forest and Bird Department, to kind of show off their birds to the people in the country. So it's a really cool thing, but somebody decided 1,500 votes needed to go to his favorite bird, and didn't change his emails or anything.
I mean, like, I get it. Like, I felt like the kiwi's already the national bird of New Zealand anyways. Is it not?
I believe that would be true.
They are referred to as kiwis. I believe that is accurate.
Yeah, so...
Are you thinking of how New Zealanders are called kiwis? Is that what you're thinking of, Truman?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't... Is the bird unrelated?
That's a good question.
I may be dumb.
But... No, it is a kiwi.
See? Well, so this guy is a patriot. This is what this man is. This man is loyal to New Zealand.
He voted for the kiwi Puka Puka, not the kiwi.
I think there's a slight difference there, I believe.
This guy might actually be for anarchy. But there's people in the chat talking about this. But also, they went flightless parrot instead. That's what they ended up going for?
Yeah, that's what they have currently. It hasn't ended yet, but currently they're going for a flightless parrot.
It's time for us to make some email addresses, boys. I'm not letting this goddamn flightless parrot be the bird of the year in New Zealand.
Okay.
Yes, Sorry.
I'm amazed because, like, out of this whole story, there's all this voter fraud and a bird election. Or whatever, but the best part is that people can officially endorse birds for the election, and one of those endorsements was from an adult toy megastore, so they supported the polyamorous bird, which, quote, boasts unusually large testicles and engages in face-to-face mating. So, they endorsed the bird. Because it's a leader of the sex positivity movement among songbirds. And
did you say large toy store or store that sells large toys?
Adult toy megastore.
Okay, all right.
Megastore.
You can say those are large toys.
I heard the
Walmart Supercenter for sex toys.
Okay, I heard toy store and I was like, what's going on here?
Are quite large.
Yeah, I heard Toys R Us did back that bird as well.
It's really neither here nor there. But so there's endorsements coming in. Is there super PACs for birds to win?
Oh, I need that's to, a good.
I'm very interested about what's going on over there.
I need answers. Not so, sleep, I need answers.
So, this is evidently an older contest and an older article, and evidently the winner of this contest is actually the Toroa Antipodean Albatross, which is an endangered seabird.
Anti-what, Albatross? What's it podium? Podium?
Anti-podium, yes.
Podium. So it doesn't... It's anti-finishing on the podium, but it somehow got first?
No, no, no. It
doesn't sound anti-podium at all.
I think it's against speeches, public speeches.
Okay, I guess that would make sense. Cousin to the
no doubt. Oh, no, wait. No, I'm wrong. It was the kick. There's a lot of dissenting opinions on who won this, but according to the official website, it is the Kakopo, which is the nocturnal flightless parrot.
Why would
they? Okay, but honestly, are they going to do a by hand recount? Because this is important. Like, we all need the recount.
What if there's Russian interference in this bird election? I mean,
Hugo Chavez, all the whole sorts. There's a lot of stuff going on in this bird's.
Facebook probably had a hand in it.
I mean, oh, yeah.
So they could have had bird that has a lot of sex, anti-speech, public speaking bird, know, the one that one guy, basically a variation of the national bird, or instead the actual winner is just a flightless parrot.
Yes.
Nocturnal flightless parrot.
Yes, it does not go in the day either.
So it's just walking around all night, huh?
It's a wonderful. Yeah. It's wonderful.
It's a bird of the night.
So I know penguins are flightless because there's like no point in them flying. But how do you what do you do as a parrot if you can't get into trees and stuff? Like what's
your life on the ground? I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Wow. All right. Well, I think I've heard enough about shit talking birds that just walk around. Big bald birds, but not big bald birds, but big B-A-L-L-E-D, birds. Yes.
Gifted birds, is what we like to call
them. Got a weird story for us?
So my first impression of this, I just saw the title and it immediately grabs you. It's North Korean former gymnast fled to South Korea by jumping fence. So the idea here is that this guy was trying to escape his homeland of North Korea and ends up taking a 10-foot leap over the DMZ fence, I guess. Obviously, it's the DMZ, so there are not a lot of fences or a lot of pictures taken of it. Right. So I can only imagine he leaped from essentially a barbed wire-covered fence over another fence to get across the border. So he claims that he is a former gymnast, he being of North Korean descent. Not a lot of people... You know, it's hard to find stuff about his background. So I guess the officials there were kind of questioning his story and his motives as to why he was trying to defect. How do you out of one of the most guarded borders in the entire world, how do you just jump across? So what they did was to prove that he had the ability to do this. They made him jump it not one time again to prove it, but two times. He had to jump the border.
Because he had to come back.
That's what I imagine. Like, he just jumped over back to North Korea and then had to jump back across again. Or
all right, so
they were just psychos. Maybe they wanted to drop him off. Like, they dropped him back off in North Korea and they're like, all right, do it again. And he just does it again. And they're like, but can you do it again? Like, I want the double or nothing. Like, they were betting on this.
Absolutely no way.
But the craziest thing is that if his story is true, then he managed to not only avoid detection by the North Korean troops, also evade the landmines in the DMZ, but he also didn't even trigger the sensors that they have on the fence specifically so that people can't climb the fence. They're crediting his light weight and his gymnastics experience for aiding his escape and giving his story some credibility. But one crazy thing is that when they were investigating it, they didn't actually see any places in the fence that were cut, but they did notice a spot where the barbed wire on the top of the fence had been pressed down as though he had actually gotten over it and through it. So this man actually did, most likely, jump the DMZ.
That's incredible. I mean, could you imagine working that hard all your life just to get out of North Korea and you finally jump over the fence and they're like, did you really jump over the fence? They're like, you know what? Show it to us. Bye. I know you worked years on this, and it had to be a coordinated thing where you avoided landmines and the North Korean military at the border here. But you know what? Just for shits and gigs, let's have you jump back over there, because I'm sure they'll be cool with that, and then jump back again, just in case.
Picks, or it didn't happen.
Easy peasy. Easy peasy.
I know, and I know we're not filming stuff. Could we at least film the guy jumping over the fence a few times?
Oh, no, you can't film video of the fence. That would be too logical.
Right.
Yeah, it's like the major security thing for everything right now. It's like video cameras. Everybody's like, marketing them. Why doesn't the DMZ have any video cameras?
This is one of those stories that every question, it just leads to more questions. Where you're like, what?
Well, yeah, it's like, oh, the sensors to make sure nobody can climb the fence. The barbed wire. It's like, how about a video camera with some basic motion detecting software hooked up to it? You don't even have to pay some guy to watch it. It can just be a computer that flashes a red light whenever something happens.
Or having a military watch the one place people can get out of your country from. That's only like, you know,
I mean,
I don't know, in comparison to other countries' borders.
I was about to say, but don't we do that?
Yeah, but I mean, we have a large border. Yeah, we watch it way better. But we also have, you know, I don't know, 10 times the amount of people in North Korea it has.
It is 155.3 miles long, so it's a lot. It's a good amount. Like, you need a lot of people watching that. I don't understand how, like, I know I've heard of people taking pictures and not being able to get their pictures back because somebody catches them taking the picture. I'm like, how can you stop somebody from taking a picture of your border, but not the man climbing and jumping over the fence that's triggered with sensors and landmines?
That's just
because the people with cameras are there for much longer?
You know, I don't know if you could teach me. I don't know if you could give me anything that would make me train for years to the point where I could jump over a 10-foot fence. No, nope.
Truman, I have good news for you. According to this article, the last known North Korean defection took place when a soldier drove a truck through the border while getting shot at by all his other fellow soldiers.
Yep.
What are the rules there? Once you get over to South Korea, they're just like, safe.
Okay.
it's like hide and seek. Yeah, you touch base and they're like, did they not just keep shooting them? I guess that'd start a war or something.
A war, maybe. That's possible.
Yeah.
Not unlikely.
Well, all right. Joe, I don't know if you've got a story that can match a man training his entire life in gymnastics to jump over a dictator's fence, but you got one?
I have a report by Reuters that a Brazilian company has seen orders for their pig-feeding robot skyrocket by 400%.
Oh?
Yeah, apparently they're now selling 60 units a month, which, let's see, divide by 4, that means that previously they were selling 15. But yeah, apparently with all the workers that pig farmers have lost, this company that makes a robot that feeds them for you, it's going really well.
Does the robot do anything special?
Nope, it's got a barrel and it just like dumps the right amount of food into a slop tray for all the pigs.
I swear I'd
seen this.
And
that's it. Apparently it saves, let's see,
I think I remember this story. I think there's something special that robot does while it feeds the pigs.
Oh, sorry, that's right. It plays classical music to help de-stress the pigs.
It's important. It's so important.
I was like, wait a minute. If somebody played me classical music while they fed me this McRib, I'd feel a lot better about it. I feel like I was at Jack Stack. Over there. I mean, that's fancy. Give me a white napkin, a McRib, and bring it with a robot that can play classical music. I don't, you know, call me a pig. I don't care.
Ambiance. That's nice.
Right. That's more mood than I had set for this meal here.
You'd make it halfway through the Toccata and Fugue in D minor, and then go, oh yes, I found a topping.
Finally. Finally, one topping.
Finally, an onion.
And then, if you end up eating 2 or 3 McRibs, there's a robot right there that can stop you from Getting out. Maybe that's around. And maybe that's what the guy ate. Maybe that's what happens when you eat three McRibs, is that you hop over the North Korean border.
Honestly, thought, why have we not made a robot that, like a cat food timer or like one of these timers, it's used as a dieting implement, where it's just a robot that dumps your slop of food out into your bowl every day at particular times, and it's only the caloric intake that you need. Like, why don't we do that? That sounds so nice. Like, if I could just walk up to my slop, there's some Mozart playing. I would be, like, constantly, like, all the time at a good weight.
You would need no appliances in your kitchen. Just one, like, microwave-sized box. You just, like, put a plate in front of it and hit the button. And it goes, you look fat today, and dumps out less food than before.
Man, my thing would never dump out any food. I've seen things online that keep you from eating during the nighttime. Like you can put your things in like a vault and then you can shut it and then put a timer on it, and then you'll like it'll give you food, like that way you don't eat if you like get hungry in the middle of the night. Like some people just can't help it, waking up in the middle of the night and having some grub. So they wake up in the middle of the night, but then their food's locked up, so then they can't eat it. Or, and I've seen, like, fridge locks and stuff, so you can put the fridge locks in the time lock case. It's all sorts of stuff. But, yeah, I don't know. Once we get to the dystopian part of society where we're just eating slop, I'm ready. I'm ready for classical music robots.
I'm pretty sure I saw a book about that, Cole. The Brave New World, I'm pretty sure they fed the lower classes the pink slop or something. I think I have thought of this before.
No, you're thinking of pink slime that all the fast food restaurants use.
I was gonna say, that's what chicken nuggets are made out of, Rory.
Is that what the McRib was made out of?
I'm sure. God. If there's ever anything that was made out of pink slime, it's the McRib. It would be
the boneless rib sandwich.
Have we?
Wait, that's also in a movie, Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer?
Where all the poor people in the back of the train ate, like, the bars that end up being ground up bugs.
You know, actually, they say bugs are supposed to be a good source of protein. That's a future. That's something that can help you in the future for a lot of people, is that if you just eat bugs, they say it's such a good source of protein and good nutrients. That's the way of the future if we want to survive.
Heck yeah.
But I don't think we're all ready for that.
Sounds like we've solved world hunger.
Speaking of our own slop right now, has everybody finished their McRib? Has everybody collected their thoughts on the McRib sandwich? Now let's start off for. Did you guys all get fries?
Yeah.
Did everybody? I didn't get fries actually.
Yes.
So this was the one. Yeah. I feel like if I had fries, maybe I'd feel a bit better about the sandwich. If it wasn't the only thing I got and brought home, I think it was an experience from the smell to the last bite. Honestly.
Out of 100, Truman, I think is what we should do.
Out of 100?
Sure. We're going Metacritic scores here.
I would give my McRib out of 100 a 37. I'm not very impressed by the McRib, man. I don't know. And I was like, maybe it'll be better than the last time I had it. If I remember right, it was underwhelming the first time. And it is, it's still a little underwhelming for the most part. Rory, what would you give it out of 100?
I'd probably do like a 52. You go into McDonald's, the video boards aren't working for the drive thru. You have low expectations. You think it's going to taste like a school rib sandwich. And it did. So you can't really hate on it for being what it is. You can't really hate on it for being what you expect from it. So you gotta get it. You set it right at average. It's still failing. It's still in that F range. But it's kind of, it's probably better than 50% of the things I've eaten. It's probably worse than 50% of the things I've eaten. It's exactly what you expect.
It's right there.
On a scale of McDonald's food, I would give it. We'll do two scores. We'll do overall score and we'll do McDonald's score. Out of food at McDonald's, I'd maybe bump it up to like a 55. It's right near the average of a McDonald's thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rory, what would you, on a scale of McDonald's food?
It's probably one of my lesser favorite McDonald's foods. Because, you know, the McChicken, the fries, the Big Macs, quarter pounders, they're all really good. Maybe it's above the Filet-O-Fish, definitely, in my opinion. But I just don't trust McDonald's fish products. I'm going to be honest here.
The only McDonald's food product that gets a steamed bun, the Filet-O-Fish. And now, when the Filet-O-Fish comes back, we're going to make you do an episode about Filet-O-Fish. We're going to have you back here.
Hey, Truman, I want to let you in on a secret. The Filet-O-Fish never went away.
Yeah, the Filet-O-Fish is a permanent menu item.
Next week, boys. Next week. Next Monday.
Perfect. Perfect.
It's right, a permanent item. They just push it to the front around Lent.
It's just Rory in the Filet-O-Fish. I won't lie. That's it.
You know, actually, it's a really good fish sandwich, Arby's. But again, we'll do that later on. Sorry. Yes.
I don't know. I was really impressed on my first bite of the McRib. I felt like, oh man, maybe the McRib is back. Like I was feeling it. I was really into it. But it definitely fell off, and I'm gonna give it right at about a 41, I would say. I'm gonna have to go on a scale of foods. I think the worst part about it was not that it's, you know, a clearly artificial looking pork patty slapped on a oblong bun that people don't know how to dress and sauce.
Other than that.
But that it's where I bought it, it's $4.79. And that's the same price as a Big Mac. That's three and a half McChickens. Like, what? For a value price, the McRib, I'd have to put it at, like, on a scale of McDonald's foods, 45. Like, it moves up just ever so slightly. Because it's just like, what am I paying for? If it was, if the Big Mac is my standard for what the McRib should be, it's gonna blast it out of the water. It's just not even close. And McDonald's doesn't even make hamburgers. They make Big Macs and McDoubles. That's a true fact. They aren't hamburgers. So.
Right. I know, Rory, I know you said the Filet-O-Fish is worse, but honestly, I think everybody else would say the Filet-O-Fish is better than the McRib, right? Joe, am I speaking for you?
Yes.
Am I on you? Cole?
Yes. Yeah, you're
Filet-O-Fish
on me.
Above the McRib?
I haven't had the Filet-O-Fish. It just looks scary. I also hadn't had the McRib until right now, so... It's similar.
I will
products,
say there is a
man.
Certain quality when you open the box of a Filet-O-Fish and just the bun looks perfect, and you're like, your brain, it hits that uncanny valley of, there has to be something wrong with this.
Right, but for me, I couldn't think of anything at McDonald's that's worse than the McRib. Sandwiches. We're gonna exclude like salads. And you know the bowl, don't you know the child's go-gurt might be worse or something, but honestly, like offhand, you know, and especially when you start factoring in value, I'd much rather go a single cheeseburger that's, you know, $1 or whatever, and then I could get five of them, or four of them, whatever how the math works out.
Four and a half.
Sure. Yeah. Exactly.
4.79 of them.
Yeah. All right, Joe, what would you give it out of 100? Rate the McRib for me.
Oh, I got to put it at 40. Like you said, there's not a whole lot that's worse than this, and we're including everything. But yeah, and even out of McDonald's foods, it still doesn't move much for me. Like Cole, 40 to a 45, somewhere in there. Although I will say I did enjoy the fact that they threw some bread and a pork patty in with my sauce. That was pretty nice.
Yeah,
I think you described it perfectly. It looks like a McRib was murdered inside the box before they put another McRib in there.
Yeah,
because you open the box and there's sauce. It's like, how did you get sauce under the bun on the bottom of the box, yet it's not on the bun?
Yeah, because it wasn't on the bottom bun at all. But I'm like, what are we doing? How did we... I have many questions. I want to watch somebody make a McRib. I can't be convinced. I think there's just magic that goes in there.
Maybe
a magical place.
Maybe those after the there's a YouTube video from ABC News about how it's made. We can maybe we can take a look at that after the podcast.
After the podcast here, let's take a look at.
Yeah, you guys interested in throwing up after the podcast? Me too.
Yeah, maybe we don't. Just like the, like it'd be. I don't know. I guess it'd be like that thing where the guy made the chicken nuggets in front of children, and it was like disgusting to watch him make it. Mm-hmm. And then he made them, and then he still makes it, cooks it, fries it, puts it right in front of the kids. He's like, "Still don't eat this." And the kids are like, "McNugget," and they ate it. And he just looks like he hates life. I'm afraid that's what would happen. Is he'd show me how the McRib's made? I go, "Oh, disgusting." And then you see me next week going, "One McRib, please. Thank you."
So there's also a video from ABC 10 News that it's McRib sandwiches made from pork rectums, ? So there's obviously a variety of videos here about how it's made. So,
Know that's what it has to look like at the factory. You know it's just getting like extrusion molded through something that looks like a McRib? And then they're just a machine that just, I mean, it comes out the right amount and then just...
At least it would be pork. I mean, like, at least it came from a pig. Positive note. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's beating my expectations.
Well,
plus side, correct animal.
On the mention of pork anuses, I feel like that feels like a good place to end it.
And on that unfortunate bombshell.
In summary, between the four of us, we had a 42.5 rating. Not horrible for the first episode. I guess we'll see how that compares to other foods if we continue doing this.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some interesting items. You know, Taco Bell comes out with a different item every week. So, if depending on how much we want to just wreck ourselves, you know, we could try a lot of things from Taco Bell. I know Joe's always up for. I see Joe smile when I mention Taco Bell there. That man,
I'm
that man,
down for some Taco Bell.
Always loves him some Taco Bell.
Well, you know, we could also like turn our Ben 10 watches back and like go try the Popeye's chicken sandwich or something, you know.
Oh yeah.
We can always try the things that we missed in the last couple years that still exist.
Well, and now the spicy McNuggets are gone, so that sucks. I was hoping we could do a big spicy like chicken nuggy comparison.
Showdown. Yeah. Like do a Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King spicy nugs.
Yeah. But alas, it is not to be. But I'd like to thank everybody for being here. Joe, thanks. Cole, thanks. Rory, love seeing your beautiful face.
Personally, I enjoy seeing his icon.
Yeah, that'll do it for the first episode of Grub Butts. I appreciate everybody being here. Everybody tuning in live on twitch.tv/steammachine. We might put this up somewhere. Where? I don't know. But... if it goes up, I'll let you know. I'll let everybody know on social medias and things like that if you got things you want to rewatch. Thanks. This has been the episode about the McRib. Appreciate you guys stopping by. We'll see you. Woo.